Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 40, Paul Appeals to Caesar. This chapter is based on Acts chapter 25, verses 1-16. Now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, and the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem. In making this request, they intended to ambush Paul along the road and murder him. But Festus had a high sense of responsibility, and he courteously declined. He declared that it is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face and has an opportunity to answer for himself. Acts chapter 25, verse 16. The Jews had not forgotten their earlier defeat at Caesarea. Again, they urged Festus to send Paul to Jerusalem for trial, but Festus held firmly to his plan to give Paul a fair trial at Caesarea. God controlled the decision of Festus to lengthen the life of the apostle. The Jewish leaders immediately prepared to testify against Paul at the court of the procurator. Festus, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. The Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. As the trial went along, Paul clearly showed, calmly and openly, that his accusers' statements were not true. Festus recognized that nothing in the charges against Paul would make him subject to death or even imprisonment, yet he saw clearly the storm of rage that would follow if he did not condemn Paul or turn him over to his accusers. And so, wanting to do the Jews a favor, Festus asked Paul if he was willing to go to Jerusalem under his protection to be tried by the Sanhedrin. The apostle knew that he would be safer among the heathen than with those who had rejected light from heaven and hardened their hearts against the gospel, so he decided to exercise his right as a Roman citizen to appeal to Caesar. "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know, for if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Festus knew nothing about the conspiracies of the Jews to murder Paul, and was surprised by this appeal to Caesar. However, the words of the apostle put a stop to the court's proceedings. Festus answered, "You have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go." Those who serve God need firm courage. Once more, because of hatred, a servant of God was driven to the heathen for protection. This same hatred forced Elijah to escape to the widow of Sarepta, and it forced the gospel messengers to turn from the Jews to the Gentiles. The people of God living in this age will one day have to meet this hatred as well. People claiming to be Christ's representatives will act much like the priests and rulers did in their treatment of Christ and the apostles. Faithful servants of God will face the same hardness of heart, the same cruel determination, the same unyielding hatred. Those who are true to God will be persecuted, their motives misrepresented, their best efforts misinterpreted, and their names condemned as evil. Satan will work with all his deceptive power to make evil appear good, and good evil. He will work fiercely to stir up rage against God's people from those who claim to be righteous while they trample on God's law. It will require the firmest trust, the most heroic determination, to hold tightly to the faith that God gave his followers long ago. Prepared or unprepared, God's people must all meet the soon coming crisis. Only those who have brought their lives into harmony with the divine standard will stand firm. When secular rulers unite with ministers of religion to dictate in matters of conscience, then it will be clear who really fears and serves God. And while the enemies of truth watch the Lord's servants for evil, God will watch over them for good. To them he will be like the shadow of a great rock in a weary land.